From somewhere in Northeast Indiana, Mike Davidson lives. And now your host of the podcast, Mike Davidson.
I know something's just going to be pointless, irritating, just something that's going to get on my nerves. Like, no way am I going to sit through it. And yet, there are people that do this. So to answer the question, no, I did not see the State of the Union address. Yes, Mr. Robert, thank you very much. It's me, Mike. Mike Davidson Lives is the name of the podcast. Thank you for listening. Thank you for hanging out next half hour or so. So the State of the Union, Thursday night, as I live and breathe as I record this, I guess that just wrapped up finally. I did not watch it. I can't remember the last time if I've at all ever sat through a State of the Union, because it just, there's nothing really shocking about these things. You know, the president comes out, he says stuff that he thinks is great, he vilifies the other party, his party's going to clap and cheer, the other party's going to boo and hiss or protest somehow, and then the opposing party has their rebuttal, and then you have all the talking heads basically, you know, yammering it up and everything. And anybody that watches this either feels really good that their guy is saying the things they like to hear, or if you're from the opposing viewpoint, you're pissed off and you think this person's Satan. I'm just looking at Twitter right now, Twitter X, and I think a lot of people were just impressed that Joe didn't fall asleep during the whole damn thing. But here, let me ask you this. Have you ever watched a State of the Union address and had your mind changed? Ever? Because it's basically just a live political ad. It's a live political commercial. This is kind of the polite version of what they do across the pond in the UK with their parliament, where they have all those guys going, harumph, harumph, or boo, urns. You know when like they shout at each other in parliament? This is kind of, the State of the Union is kind of the polite version of that, which is weird because a lot of times here in America, our stuff is a little louder and a little more obnoxious. But yeah, some people sat through that and either think that Joe's the best thing since sliced bread, or, you know, he's Hitler himself. But I didn't watch because I already know what I think. And I know that it's all just a speech, just words written down. That night, you know, it's hard for me to stomach anything right now. I've had this, it's been a really weird week for me health-wise. The last couple of days, my head was just swimming with mucus. I thought I had a sinus infection. And then last night into this morning, I found out, no, you've got a bit of the stomach flu too. So trying to eat has been a chore. Trying to stay hydrated has been a chore. But fortunately, it's kept me awake long enough to do a podcast this evening. So I guess that's one thing I got going for me. By the way, speaking of podcasts, last episode I talked about that controversial study about how marijuana smoke might be bad for the lungs and the heart. And, of course, you know, the potheads that roll their eyes at everything will roll their eyes at everything. Right? Ignoring the fact that, okay, there are edibles and there are vapes with cannabis infusion, which pretty much says, okay, people like to get high, but they don't like the smoke necessarily. One woman commented on Facebook that if you are schizophrenic, pot's a no-go. It will mess with your mind pretty bad. And if you're diabetic, you probably shouldn't smoke pot. And that makes sense because, I mean, you get the munchies, you're high, you think you're invincible, you can eat anything, and you can't eat anything, everything anyway, when you're diabetic. It's kind of like, you know, when I would get drunk, oh yeah, I can do a drunk smoke, drunk cigarette. And yeah, it feels all right because you've been drinking. The next morning, though, you're coughing like a sumbitch. So yeah, there's that. You just kind of have to weigh your options before you toke up, before you have a beverage. And of course, as always, do everything in moderation. And again, yes, I know you can't overdose from smoking marijuana at all. Yes, that's not the point of that. By the way, if you haven't figured it out by now, I'm kind of nerdy about stuff. And Zack Snyder, he took on the DC with the DC Extended Universe Man of Steel, which I kind of liked when I saw it in the theater. And then I saw Batman versus Superman. And I thought, wow, that was a colossal load, and basically all the cinematic offerings that were inspired by Zack Snyder's take of the DC universe hit or miss. Well, he was on Joe Rogan recently, and he talked about how respecting canon is basically bullshit. Like, you know, it's a weird god, and that you want him to recognize. Okay? So when you say Batman doesn't kill, that doesn't make any sense to me. You know, you put these unrealistic expectations, you know, on a comic book superhero, unrealistic expectations. Oh, you know, this is the same guy that thought Barry Allen should be played by Ezra Miller. You know, make him like a really bad knockoff of Peter Parker. Barry Allen acts in the comic book. I just got done reading Flashpoint the other night. Barry Allen acts nothing like, looks nothing like Ezra Miller. Zack Snyder thought, okay, comic book fans are going to go for this. Or the casting of Jesse Eisenberg as Lex Luthor, who's supposed to be this cold, distant, genius-level supervillain, this businessman with a science pedigree. Now, let's make him played by Spaz. That was Zack Snyder's thing. And, you know, he's talked about how, like, he shouldn't be upheld to these unrealistic expectations. And, you know, I'm looking at the transcript to this interview that Joe did, and all I can think of is, thank shit Lord of the Rings was made when it was made by the guy who made it. I mean, Peter Jackson obviously had to cut a few things out here or there, couldn't do the complete book in a span of three movies. As weird as that sounds, yes, each of those movies were about 3 hours long, and he had to cut stuff. I mean, I think Tom Bombadil is the big thing there. But he respected the canon. He respected the fans. I don't think Zack Snyder does. And that's why he thinks anybody that criticizes him is toxic. So he's off making his other weird movies for Netflix, whatever. All right, speaking of Netflix, this is a big announcement for them. July 20th, live from Dallas, 57-year-old Mike Tyson taking on Logan Paul. And if you have Netflix, you can watch it. And they're hoping this thing sells big, because this is going to be AT&T Stadium where the Cowboys play. So, you know, that place, they're expecting a lot of people to show up for that. That's the expectation. Anyway, if you want to cinch it, just have Taylor Swift be the guest referee. But I don't know. As problematic as Mike Tyson is, I do kind of want to see his old ass knock Logan Paul out midway through the first round. That would be cool. I get tired of I don't know much about Logan Paul other than he thinks he can fight everybody and he thinks he's a badass. No, I don't want to fight Logan Paul. I just don't want to see him outside of this fight. And if I do decide to watch this, I'm pulling for Mike Tyson wholeheartedly. Now, I made the Taylor Swift joke, but this no joke. Okay, you remember back in January, the wild card game, the Chiefs and the Dolphins. This, I think, was like the third or fourth coldest game on record in NFL history. It was at Arrowhead Stadium. Of course, the Chiefs obviously pulled it out, went on to win another Super Bowl. I guess a bunch of Chief fans got frostbite. And now, this is like 6 weeks later, and you got doctors talking about how 70% of that group of fans that got frostbite having to schedule amputations because they can't save whatever appendage got the frostbite. I just hope nobody was knocking boots out in the parking lot. That would be bad. But so, they go on to say that, like, even if you are to manage to, you know, keep your appendage and do the therapy, that that appendage could get susceptible to frostbite later on, and you'll always be under excruciating pain to sit through a football game. Man, could you imagine being like a Dolphins fan thinking, oh yeah, this is going to be our year. We're going to fly up to Kansas City. I'm going to wear my windbreaker, you know, my starter windbreaker. Had it since Marino. And I'm going to sit there and I'm going to watch them win. Hey, man, I know it gets a little colder outside of Miami, but I'm going to sit here and enjoy the game. Yeah. Some people, I don't know. As much as I love football, given the choice between going to a cold ass stadium or sitting in my recliner at home watching the game, just a few footsteps away from a cold beer or making myself a sandwich, I can tell you which one I want to enjoy more and which one's going to be a bit more on the cheaper side. But I don't feel this pressure to be manly, but some people do. There's this new survey. Who conducted this? Conducted by One Poll for Lelo, whatever this is. 2,000 men, half were sexually active, found 50% feel under pressure to perform masculinity, and 8 in 10 agree there is a societal pressure for men to behave a certain way. The shoe's on the other foot here. For nearly half, this pressure comes from expectations like knowing how to be handy around the house, 49%. While others feel forced to act a certain way in front of others, 48%, or a specific body type, 41%. Many feel particularly misunderstood when it comes to romantic relationships, 31%, their sense of humor, 29%, and their financial knowledge, 28%. Again, I don't really feel the pressure necessarily. But it's kind of interesting that guys, I mean, this is something you've been hearing from the fairer sex for the better part of, decades now. Because of this pressure to live up to Cosmopolitan or 17 or any of these other trendy girl magazines, women's magazines, and the societal pressure here and there. But there is some of that on guys too. And that you have to wrestle a grizzly bear in front of a volcano, or you have to juggle chainsaws pantsless while yodeling. I mean, maybe that's a little extreme. Maybe. But there is kind of that thing where, my wife will tell me, hey, we got an ugly spider in the house, can you get rid of it? Yeah, I don't want her to touch the ugly spider, but at the same time, I'm not really looking forward to touching that ugly spider. So, I mean, it's like, he's got a wang, he can survive if he gets bit, right? So, that's kind of what guys put up with. But this, I don't know. I don't think I feel some of this stuff, because I feel like, you know, me and my wife, we got a good relationship. I can be a little more knowledgeable on the financial stuff, and I'm pretty comfortable with my stupid sense of humor. I don't try to compare myself to other guys because, that's just peer pressure. I think that's the other thing, too, with women, is like they compare themselves to other women. It's like, you know, no, stop. Assess where you're at. Compare that to where you were a few years ago. Are you better off or are you worse? You know, it's don't look to other people. Don't look to your peer group for happiness, because, you know, a lot of times they don't know what the hell they're doing. Okay, I guess there's pressure to unionize now in the NCAA. Dartmouth basketball team, 13-2 vote this week, decided to join a local union. And they're hoping that their compatriots around the Ivy League, you know, that big basketball league that is the Ivy League, will join them in unionizing and all that other jazz. And it's kind of funny looking at some of the reactions, because I think the guy that, in charge of the NCAA says, look, you don't want that because you're not an employee. And there are athletes that are saying, yeah, we're not employees, you know, across the association, I guess. But here's the thing. You start getting these NILs and these transfer portals. I mean, you basically, last few years, have been really monkeying with what a student can get away with and how much money they can accumulate, with their likenesses and everything. They're damn right employees now. They're no longer students. Can we stop with the pretense that these people are students? Oh, you know, they gotta get an education. No. You didn't draft Johnny because you think it would be great for him to get a communications degree. You drafted Johnny because he looked to be a pretty decent linebacker for the Crimson Tide. That's why he did it. And that's what's basically become of the NCAA. I think it's almost more of a farce than a pro sports, and it only took them a fraction of the time to reach that farce level. Yeah, so now Dartmouth has unionized, and you know damn well that it's not just going to be Ivy League schools that does this, and it's not just going to be basketball players that do this. It's going to be, if you're an athlete with the NCAA, you have to unionize. Kind of like if you're a player in the NFL, you're part of the players' union, and so on and so forth. Okay, so the trendy thing now with environmental protesters is to be total assholes, with total disregard for people who have day-to-day living to do. This down in Melbourne, Australia, a few climate protesters blocked off this bridge, and this woman ended up giving birth on the road in her car because she couldn't get to the hospital in time because of these numbskulls. And one of the protesters did in fact apologize for the behavior, but the woman's doing great. Kid's doing great, which is great, but it's not great what these guys are doing. Because okay, I don't expect this protester that apologized to, you know, pretty much change his opinions on climate change or whatever. I don't think that this delivery is going to be enough to change his mind, but I hope it does give him pause to maybe conduct the protests elsewhere. I mean, it's one thing to be concerned about a cause, but if you're not concerned about whatever the hell anybody else is doing, you're more of a control freak than anything. And these organizations that keep doing things like this, like blocking roadways, blocking bridges, going into museums, throwing crap on paintings, it's obnoxious. And, you know, it can be a little dangerous. I mean, you blocked a bridge. A woman was trying to get to the hospital. She had urgent need to go to the hospital. These idiots are just a heart attack away from getting sued, or worse, depending on the country, depending on where this is, getting charged with involuntary manslaughter. That depends on how proactive the prosecutor in that jurisdiction would be. But I mean, you're not winning people to your argument when you're inconveniencing them. You're just pissing them off. All right. By the way, speaking of nuts, J.K. Rowling's being harassed by this trans activist, this trans actress or whatever, because the trans activist claims that on social media J.K. Rowling misgendered this person, and it got so bad that the trans activist called the cops on J.K. Rowling. And, yeah. Look, I don't care what you want to call the trans activist. I don't think it's a crime to use the wrong pronoun. This is getting deep into Orwellian territory here. Okay? And what's worse is, like, J.K. Rowling has basically said that this trans activist is harassing her. And I'm more intent to side with J.K. Rowling because J.K. Rowling has not called a cop on the trans activist. Really. I mean, this is harassment. And again, kind of that control freak thing. Like, if you're not recognizing what I want you to recognize, I'm going to make your life a living hell. To hell with that. And of course, J.K. Rowling's got enough of that sweet, sweet, what we call FU money. And she's probably not going to get prosecuted for this yet. Let's hope not. I don't know how squirrely things are over in the United Kingdom there. I know here in the United States, things are a little nutty. Well, I'll take that back. There are some nutty things. And there are some not so nutty things. Some good news out of San Francisco. We'll get to that in a few moments. But first, Los Angeles, a Methodist pastor got in trouble because apparently he drew a swastika on a bag of soda, a box of soda, groceries delivered to this neighbor of his, an elderly Jewish woman. This Methodist pastor, a man of God, a man of peace, doing this to a Jewish woman's groceries. And this guy has the Methodists, I believe, are a little more on the progressive side too. So he had the really obnoxious yard sign Christmas. I'm glad for our brown skinned Middle Eastern savior who is an illegal immigrant or whatever. And here he is. He's doing something that basically Jesus would admonish him for. So, and of course, genius got caught on camera doing this doorbell cam. And this blows my mind. I mean, I got a camera right outside my door. Some people have, you know, mounted cameras on their porches or in their doors, embedded in their doors. It's become more common because, well, unfortunately, we can't trust our neighbors half the time. And you would think this guy would have a clue as to this trend that, hey, I could get caught doing this, especially a woman whose particular ethnicity has been kind of picked upon since, I don't know, October 7th. So this guy, he's got some splaining to do. Comes off as kind of an a-hole. As you know, New York City's been kind of going through a rough patch, too. It's a sanctuary city, so I don't know why it would be going through a rough patch. All are welcome, and everything's cool. Everybody respects the laws. Nobody's camping out on the sidewalks or crapping on the sidewalks or, you know, committing any illegal crimes. Well, they've got 1,000 cops, New York City, patrolling the subways. And now, I believe the governor has ordered the National Guard, 750 National Guardsmen, to help with the patrols of the subway, to do bag checks. This is the biggest city in the United States. This is supposed to be kind of the crown jewel, you know. Welcome to New York. You've got the Statue of Liberty. You've got the Empire State Building. This is, you know, Times Square. This is one of the most iconic American cities there is. And you have the National Guard there. This is almost like a police state, just checking out bags and everything. I mean, are they expecting something bigger down the pike? I mean, this isn't just like a mugging or anything else. I mean, this is like, you're calling in a decent-sized unit of National Guardsmen to help patrol New York City subways. Never had the National Guard escort me to my car. Never felt that much danger. I may mention that San Francisco may be a little more sane. Maybe a little more sane here. Just this past week, they passed a couple of resolutions. The police can use more force. I mean, not necessarily like, you know, Dirty Harry force, but expand the force. You know, give them more opportunity to actually enforce the law. And that's very good. And of course, they also passed a resolution that you can't get welfare unless you get drug screened. What? Get out of here. Of course, they're saying that the mayor of San Francisco is having a tough re-election challenge. And this is kind of interesting, by the way, because San Francisco is just a one-party town. You're either a Democrat or you're a Democrat. And if the mayor's, you know, a super uber progressive is going to have trouble getting re-elected coming up, it tells you that maybe just a few people there have come to their senses on a few things. Maybe. But yeah, a little bit of a cleanup job there. It's a baby step. Maybe they'll get the pooper scoopers out for the sidewalks later. You keep your fingers crossed on that, okay? Staying in San Francisco, this is crazy, and this is another reason why I will never put my ass on another plane for a long-ass time. Because it's amazing to me, we haven't had an air disaster as of late. Not wanting an air disaster, mind you. Don't want that at all to happen, but just some crazy things have happened lately. And I guess there's some photos. I got this linked up on the Mike Davidson Facebook page. If I've not yet, I will soon, promise. A plane en route from San Fran to Tokyo had a wheel fall off. Yeah, fall off while taking off. And it unfortunately landed in the employee parking lot, crushing a couple cars. Nobody was injured, but imagine working at the airport, long-ass day, you come out and you find that there's a crater with a muffler sticking out of it that used to be your car. Yeah, so that's just another thing going on with the airplanes. You know, fuselages tearing apart mid-flight, crazy passengers, now wheels falling off. I miss the days when the only thing you really had to worry about was the BAC of your pilot. You know, now you got too much to worry about. That's crazy. All right, so kind of wrap it up with a few things here. This guy out in Germany, I did a double take because he's, you know, 62 years old, vaccinated for COVID 217 times. Now, if they didn't say he was from Germany, I would have assumed, you know, first thing off the bat would have been Howard Stern, because, you know, he's got that clean living going. He's hidden his house since 2020, and he's only gotten COVID once. But, you know, this 62-year-old man was being investigated by authorities over there for having so many freaking vaccines, because they thought that he was getting, like, the vaccine passports and selling them underground. And the doctors, these researchers are like, hey, if you drop the charges, let us talk to them. You know, maybe we can put out a study. And they're like, okay, fine. So this guy got the COVID vaccine 217 times for 8 different variants of COVID. And they found out his immune system pretty decent. But, and they even said that he never had COVID at all. He got the vaccine 217 times, so probably not a lot of room for anything in his bloodstream right now. I'm surprised he's got blood cells, to be honest. But, I mean, that's a little nutty, though. 217 times. Never got COVID. Vaccinated that much. Don't know if it's because he's a germaphobe or if he was indeed trying to make financial gain with the passports. But, yeah, I don't know. Like, when was the... I got the flu vaccine this past spring. No, I got it fall. I got it in fall. It felt like spring that day. And that's about it. I probably have had maybe the flu vaccine a dozen times in my life. And it's not for the flu, it's just different variants of the flu. I could not imagine getting something 217 times for the same damn thing. I mean, if you're diabetic and you take insulin via needle, my sympathies. I mean, I remember selling plasma in college for beer money. And I developed this phobia of needles. Like, I can get shots as long as I don't look at them. But, like, you know, they put the needle in your arm when drawing plasma from you. And it's just like, ugh. And sometimes I still feel it, too. Maybe that's, like, my version of frostbite. Okay. So, out in the ocean, another whale tale to tell. They got video floating around of the 60-year-old orca whale. She's a grandmother. Killing a great white shark. It's a baby shark, but it's, you know, baby's 12 feet long. Killing it in minutes, taking its liver and swimming off. Rough. Brutal. No sex in this one, though. I mean, last week we had the gay whale sex. Here we get the whale snuff film. And now a lot of people forget that killer whales get the name for a reason, killer. But they go by orcas now, I think, you know, because we don't want them to be, you know, considered vicious or anything. Okay, scientists, this thing just kicked the shit out of a great white shark. It ended it right there and then in front of a camera. I think it earns the name killer whale. I think killer whale is kind of a bitchin' nickname anyway. Orca is nice, but I'm going to go with killer whale here. And finally, Pittsburgh has a bear problem, or at least it did. This woman's lucky to be alive just outside of Pittsburgh. Earlier this week, she goes out backyard. She sees a mama bear and her 3 cubs. Mama bear's angry, attacks this woman, starts biting her arm. The woman starts screaming. Her dog starts barking, and then the bear runs off with her cubs. Now, they found the bear and her cubs. They tranquilized the cubs. They're going to release them in the wild. But the mama bear, because she was so angry and agitated, they had to put her down. Put her down. And, yeah, I guess it would make sense because it's not too far from the mountains, Pittsburgh. I mean, like, the Appalachians run to... I don't think of Pittsburgh as bear country, though. You know, it's kind of like living here in Indiana. We don't have bears. But here's, you know, you go out in the backyard and you have the chance of like getting attacked by a big, giant ass bear. That's crazy. But the dog was just like yelping. I don't know. Like, if I knew that there were bears nearby, I wouldn't want a purse dog to try to save me. Unless, of course, that purse dog could call 911 and spray a can of bear mace. But then all said and done, I'm done. Till next time, stay fresh, Jesus.
You've been listening to Mike Davidson Live. Be sure to check him out on social media. Like him at facebook.com/mdavidsonlives. Follow him on Twitter. Look for @DavidsonLives.